thank you for coming this evening. The Open Doors Family Choir, all volunteers, all serving the Lord with music, bring you the King of Love.
Sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said,
Hail, thou who art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women.
When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her,
Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive and bring forth a son, and behold, thou shalt conceive and bring forth a sound. Thou shalt call His name, Jesus. Thou shalt call His name, Jesus.
Thou shalt call His name Jesus. 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 The wonderful name of Jesus. Before Mary and Joseph came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Thank you.
And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night.
Oh.
When they had seen the babe, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is that is born the King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. People that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. You have just heard, in a word and in song, the true story of Christmas. An invitation to the whole world to experience the loving grace of God. But this is not the end of the story. After this invitation is concluded, God will send forth His Son again to return in the fullness of His glory. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
The King of Glory. Wasn't that wonderful? Yeah. What a clear presentation of the Christmas story in Scripture, read right from the Bible and supported by song that carried the same message with it. Well, at this time, George Griffin, our director, has a special presentation he wants to make.
I've lost my presentation.
Danny was holding out for flowers. You know, I was thinking about halfway through this that so often ministry is like a good meal. You know, I'm thinking about Thanksgiving or Christmas, and so much work goes into it. And then in 45 minutes, it's over. The only thing that remains is the memory. Wanda and I have four daughters. They're all grown now. But they all refer to fond memories that they have at Open Door connected with children's Christmas programs and events and things like that. So, choir, accompanist, Brother George, thank you for your tireless work. Thank you for the blessing it's been to us tonight. And we trust the Lord will seal it to our heart with a whole lot of other fond memories we have. You know, I want to take this opportunity to share the gospel message with you that are visiting with us tonight, because it is not just the fact that Christ came, but he came with a purpose that has to do with you that needs to be shared. I've shared with our congregation that I was raised in church. But it wasn't until I was 24 years old that I understood that the message was Christ, of Christ, was something that I had to respond to personally, that I had to respond in faith to. A part of the Christmas story that we heard tonight was the message that the angels communicated to the shepherds. And who were the shepherds? They were just common people like you and I. They were working the night shift, if you will. But the message of the angels was, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. God sent to earth a Savior. And the angels told the shepherds that the message of good tidings that they brought were to all people. You see, the gospel is not for a select group. The message of salvation is not to a select group. God's message of salvation is to all of us. And the Bible would teach that we personally need to consider the message and respond to it because of its importance. Growing up, I never understood my need of Christ. Because I heard all my life, because I went to church, that I was a good person. And what I believed about heaven and hell was that good people went to heaven and bad people went to hell. And because I had people tell me all the time I was a good person, I believed that of myself. So I never felt any peril for my soul. But all that changed for me when a co-worker actually showed me from the Bible what the Bible teaches. Because you see, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that there is none righteous, no one righteous, no, not one. The Bible says that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before God. Ecclesiastes would say there's not a just man on earth that does good and sins not. This was news to me at 24 years of age. Because I thought there were degrees of people. There were good people, and there were bad people, and there were a bunch of people in between, but that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God looks upon us equally. There is none of us that is righteous, because we all have sinned. You see, that's why a Savior was sent to all people, because we all needed to be saved. Paul would say in the 6th chapter of the book of Romans that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, for the first time in my life, I realized my soul was in peril when I saw from the Scriptures, not only was I a sinner, but God says the wages, the payment of my sin, was death. Eternal separation from Him. And all of a sudden, this good guy realized that I had a need. I had a need for a Savior. And that's the reason Christ came. You know, the entire Christmas story could be summed up with a very familiar verse. I imagine all of you are aware of it. It's John 3:16. For God so loved the world, the whole world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, that verse says nothing about joining the church or the right church. That verse says nothing about being baptized or any other religious work. That verse says nothing about keeping the Ten Commandments or the Golden Rule. That verse says we are perishing. And God's solution to our need was in love to send Jesus for us. And how we are delivered from perishing is by believing in Him. You see, there's only two types of people here tonight. There are people that have realized that they are sinners and firmly place their trust in Christ to forgive them and take them to heaven when they die. And the other type of person that is here tonight is the person that is relying on themselves. They believe they're going to get to heaven based upon their own merit because they're good people, or they go to church, or they have done this or they have done that. And if you are trusting in your own merit to get you to heaven, I would simply ask you this question. Why did Jesus need to come to earth for you? You are your own Savior. But tragically, that's not the message of the Bible. The message of the Bible is we're spiritually lost. We're spiritually drowning. There is absolutely nothing we can do to save ourselves. That is why Jesus came. And salvation takes place personally in our life. We are delivered from death and perishing when we understand Jesus is the Savior. And trusting Jesus is enough. You know, history is made up of events. Some events are not particularly significant. Other events are very significant. I believe tonight's cantata has presented the first most important event in history, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Because more than anything, He is what this world needed. The second event is His death, burial, and resurrection. Because in that, He declared, He indeed is the Son of God and holds the power of life and death in His hand. I believe Jesus Christ is the most important person in human history. And how could earth be visited by Him without it being a life-changing event personally for those who have trusted Him? What is Christmas to you? Is it just a season, or is it a reminder that your Savior came to earth for you? You know, the message of salvation is simple. The Apostle Paul would write in Romans chapter 10, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Calling upon God and asking Him to save us is a demonstration of faith. It's an expression, an open expression to God that we understand that we're sinners. We understand we don't have the ability to save ourselves, that we're perishing. and that we believe Jesus Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection is enough to grant our forgiveness and to gain us eternal life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is God's promise. It's your personal responsibility to call on the name of the Lord. It's God's promise that anybody who does, he will save. So I simply close with this question. Have you understood this message? Was there a time in your life that with that understanding, in a simple childlike prayer, you said to God, "Lord, I believe Jesus died for me, and I'm asking you to save me because I'm trusting him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And do you understand? Right there where you sit, right at this very moment, you can bow your heart to God and silently say to him, "Lord, I need a Savior. I believe Jesus died for me. Lord Jesus, please save me." You say it can't be that simple. It is that simple because he is the one who has done the work. And now you are simply trusting him. Let's bow our heads and our hearts before God. Just take a moment of silence. And tonight, if God has spoken to your heart, and that is your need of trusting Christ, I encourage you right there where you sit to ask God to save you. Father, I'm thankful tonight for this service, for the blessing it was to us with the reminder that you sent the Lord Jesus for us in our greatest need. And Father, across this auditorium, you know the testimony of each individual. How there was a time that we were lost without understanding. Religious, but without Christ. And yet, hearing the message of the gospel, our lives were changed. Father, I pray tonight for those present that heard this message with new understanding. I pray for those tonight that possibly reached out in faith and asked you to save them. I pray that you would give them the full assurance of their salvation and help them to grow in their relationship with Christ. Father, I'd ask that you would make this Christmas season blessed for us. The world is hurting, Lord. People are hurting. If there's ever a time that we need to share Christ, it is now. Help us to speak up. Help us to be kind. Help us to love enough to talk to others about Christ. And Father, I just pray that you'd watch over and keep the people that are here, that you would bless them in a special way. I know they all have prayers that are at the forefront of their mind and before you. Lord, might you answer those prayers for them. Thank you for this evening. And Lord, as always, It's in the name of your Son and our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. God bless you. Huh?